The Archaeological Museum of Taranto. The display route. Welcome to MARTA, the National Archaeological Museum of Taranto. At the center of the large hall, used for welcoming the public, is the colossal bronze copy of the head of Heracles by Lipsius, which was originally located at the Acropolis in the Greek city. On the left is the entrance to the remains of the cloister of the convent of the Alcaterini, completely modified from its original architectural features, destined to show the various techniques and phases of stoneworking, a craft that particularly flourished in the polis, especially in the Hellenistic period. Beyond the cloister, there are spaces for temporary exhibitions, conference rooms, and other cultural activities. The museum has got two floors and proposes a new display route which takes into account the characteristics of the materials and the possibility of referring to the context of the excavations. Most of the finds illustrate the history of Taranto and its territory. The visitor's route goes from the second floor to the first floor and proceeds by focusing on the chronological phases, prehistoric and proto-historic periods, the Greek period, the Roman period, late antiquity and early Middle Ages. There are specific themes, for example, religious and funerary culture, the economy and production. All the rooms are provided with text and illustrations, providing information about specific finds and their contexts. The information boards promote broad thematic exploration. The touchscreen monitors along the route allow the visitor to consult hypertext with more detailed information on historical, mythological, iconographical, and technical aspects. On the first floor, a large space is reserved for the display of marvelous finds coming from the necropolis of the 4th and the 3rd BC. The route is developed up to the phases of Romanization and presents a significant series of architectural and figurative elements regarding funerary rites, as well as a large variety of tomb goods with exceptional gold jewelry. Rooms 9, 10, 11, and 13 offer the visitor the most representative forms of funerary architecture, illustrating the ritual aspects connected with funerary culture. Room 9. Room 9 in particular contains architectural elements from buildings from different sizes, some preserving traces of original polychrome painted decoration. The use of an external funerary monument was adopted in Taranto, especially from the 4th century BC. The funerary stella, inspired by Attic models, they were isolated with Ionic style or Corinthian style or Tarentine Corinthian capitals on them. The Tarentine Corinthian capital is characterized by figurative elements. Numerous examples of different styles of capitals can be seen in the center of the room. Under the big screen, there is the spiral-shaped crater in local limestone called Carparo, which is a further example of the extraordinary morphological variety of these funerary markers. It can be noted that also in room 10, the runes on display confirm a lively craftsmanship linked to the use of the local stone. For the architectural frame and for the shaft of the column and the local limestone called Carparo was used while a white compact limestone, the so-called softer stone, pietra tenera, which came from Carovigno, Ostuni, Ancellium Esapica, was utilized for decorative elements. In front of the entrance, it is possible to admire the reconstruction of the Naiskos in Via Umbria. The Naiskos is a kind of funerary marker that was widespread in the last 30-year period of the 4th century, as well as the use of chamber tombs. It was often represented on Apulian vases. It was made of small adicule on a podium, and inside there was the statue of the deceased. In the reconstruction of the Naiskos of Via Umbria, the only surviving elements that remain are 6 metopteps of the Doric order, which decorated the podium, which depicted the battle between the Greeks and the barbarians, and it was a very common subject in the figurative repertory of the Hellenistic period. The framework of the adicule still preserves the base of the column, the decoration of the tympanum, with a procession of maritime divinities and fragments of Acroteria, with the monster Scylla, an allusion to the world of infernal gods. Room 10. In room 10, behind the Naiskos, contains a proposed reconstruction of the entrance of the hypogeum of the Caryatids, a unique and exceptional monument. It is particularly significant because we understand the different expressive forms of the Tarentine craftsman in the area of Apulia. The entrance to the monumental tomb, which leads to a rich family group of the Basta community, which lived in the Messapia, Rome, and then in Poggiardo area in Salento, was decorated with 4 Caryatids in stone, placed at the door jambs of the 2 doors as a crowning frieze. It was adorned with a racing scene with chariots driven by Arotes and chariots drawn by lions. A Caryatid and a fragment of the frieze, which ended up in the collections of the provincial museum, Museo Provinciale, in Lecce, have been substituted with faithful copies in resin, which are clearly recognizable. In the use of technical and stylistic solutions of a Tarentine matrix, the decorative elements reveal the iconographic influence of other artistic currents from the Hellenistic period, confirming yet again the extraordinary originality of this monument. On the left, in the 2 display cases near the wall, the numerous architectural figured elements are displayed: metop, friezes, and archoteria pertaining to funerary monuments. The iconographic repertory is strictly connected to the funerary scene, favoring mythical scenes of plunder and battles, Dionysic processions and marine gods, and explicit representations of the deceased in the Hades. The lively polychromy, which today has almost completely disappeared, contributes to making the scenes of struggle and abduction more realistic, alluding to the passage between life and death, just like the representations of the processions in honor of Dionysus, the god of rebirth. Room 11. Room 11 is dedicated to the display of the rich grave goods discovered in both inhumation and incineration burials. The rite of incineration, sporadically attested in the 7th century BC, became widespread again in Taranto in the last decades of the 4th century. Such funerary rituals can, with every probability, be connected to the arrival of mercenary troops in the retinue of foreign leaders who intervened to defend Taranto. The display allows the visitor to appreciate straight away the particular taste and highly refined preparation of the rich Tarentine gold working industry. It was able to employ extremely refined techniques on precious metals, which developed between the 4th and the 2nd century BC. In the display cases, there is a variety of examples of gold work, which were used for personal adornment in life or created deliberately to be placed in the tomb. Examples include earrings, necklaces, bracelets, rings, diadems, and crowns, some of which were often true parure. With the famous gold jewelry of Taranto, other objects which make up the grave assemblages are also displayed, such as objects in figured terracotta, all of which illustrate the use of personal adornment. The earrings represent the most frequently attested jewel in a variety of different types: conical pendants, spiral, and boat-shaped. The earrings in display case 9 have got exceptional dimensions and are characterized by an exuberant vegetal decoration obtained by using a rich filigree and granulation technique adorned with pendants and winged female figures, nikai, at the edges. Next to them, similar earrings in gilt and golden layered terracotta are displayed, which were destined for the less wealthy. Different types of rings are displayed, rings with different objects set and engraved, rings with precious stones mounted, and a turning scarab or beetle, which had the function of a seal. Note the scarab-shaped ring in gold. It can be dated back to the 20-part to 25-year period of the 4th century BC. Display in display case 8 on the flat part of the honorable setting of the ring is a female figure identifiable thanks to the inscription in Greek letters as Electra, afflicted because of the death of her father Agamemnon. There are few examples of necklaces. The oldest ones are made up with different shapes: spherical, tubular, and rose-cut. They were sewn or held by a fibula onto the dress. At the beginning of the 3rd century BC, necklaces with rings, links, and beads, and catches similar to the small lions or a small palm leaf started to be diffused. Also, the use of bracelets has been documented from a few finds. Of particular interest is the bronze nutcracker in the shape of female forearms with a serpentine form gold bracelet in display case 14. It is an extraordinary product of Turritic Tarentine work of art at the end of the 4th century BC, with the symbolic meaning ignored in the funerary context. Among the objects used as personal adornment was the diadem, used for personal adornment and to hold up their hair. It shows the extraordinary technical ability of the Tarentine craftsmen. A typical diadem was the tubular diadem, made up of a curved layer, plain or decorated with vegetal elements, and was held on the head by ribbon. Crowns decorated with vegetable elements, with a thin layer of gold, silver, or golden bronze, were exclusively used in a funerary context for burials for both males and females. Note in particular the crown with the bronze myrtle leaves and berries in golden terracotta placed around the neck of a hydria in bronze, used as a cinerary urn in display case 5 and dates back to about 330 BC. In the central display case, there are two funerary assemblages coming from centers which were influenced by the Greek culture of Taranto. On the one side, there is a splendid golden parure or set from Crispiano, made up of a diadem and a pair of earrings that can be dated back to the second 25-year period of the 4th century BC. The ornamental effect of the diadem is exemplified in the fictile polychrome head placed in the same display case. It is made of a curved layer decorated with vegetable elements in filigree and by a central cluster of acanthus on a layer which is welded to the diadem. The earrings are disc-shaped, decorated by a rose in filigree, with the spherical beads, triple pendants between the two sides. A pendant of a female head in full relief. This embossed work reveals an extraordinary skillful technique in rendering anatomic details from the hair and in particular to jewelry. Two clustered shaped earrings and necklaces with pendants. Note the diadem, it is similar type to that found in the tomb. On the other side are grave goods from Motula and can be dated back to the beginning of the 3rd century BC. The necklace is made up of a flat ribbon formed by 6 chains with links welded to each other and provided with catches in the form of a palm leaf, decorated in filigree. The bracelet is like a spiral rod, rolled up like a spiral, with antelopes at the edges. The ring has got the side of a female face on its circular setting, adorned with jewels, and her hair done in the shape of a melon. The iconography can be attributed to the period of Alexander of Egypt and can be identified as a member of the Ptolemaic dynasty. There are also splendid and refined grave goods from Genosa in display case 18, characterized by the combination of earrings with conical pendants and a gold diadem with a Herculean knot. The display route continues with room 11, where there are tomb goods which demonstrate the widespread use of products by Tarentine goldsmiths in different centers of Apulia. The display case in room 12 contains grave goods from San Paolo Civitate Carbonara and Ignazia and is made up of gold jewelry and statues which clearly demonstrate the union of the indigenous aristocracies from Dawenia, Pecuzia, and Messapia to the ritual forms and the Greek artistic language and Magno Greek. Note in particular the marvelous rock crystal seal produced at the beginning of the 3rd century BC by Tarentine craftsmen who were expert in the technique of engraving. On the transparency of the crystal, there is a scene of a struggle between animals. Even if there is a lack of proportions, the dog attacking the deer, which tries to escape, reveal a naturalistic depiction. In room 12, in display case 21, on the right of the room, there is the funerary assemblage of the famous Tomba degli Ori from Canosa, an important center of the ancient Duenia. The burial place, which was discovered in 1928, owes its name to the gold and silver of such high quality belonging to the aristocracy of the area, Opaca Sabaleda, whose name is engraved on the clasp of the shell-shaped makeup case in silver. The extraordinary case is formed with 2 valves which reproduce the form of pecten, Jacobaeus, San Giacomo, on the inside and on the outside of the cover by means of an embossed technique. Is Nereid, the god of the abyss, riding a marine monster. The decoration is livened up with a wise play on chromatics deriving from the contrast between the surface in silver and the parts in gold. The same skillful technique is found in a box-shaped mirror, decorated on the outside, embossed and polished by a female figure, a muse or an Aphrodite, surrounded by players. Staying in the field of cosmetics are the glass bowls used for mixing and preparing makeup. The activity of spinning allude to the spindle and the wool wound on a distaff in bones. It is interesting to note that the scepter in wood with a golden layer, which is pierced by two winged female figures, Nikai, on the top of one side. The objects for personal adornment are represented by a pair of earrings with a cluster in glass and a necklace with a flat ribbon with pendants and the catch in the shape of a palm leaf. The floral diadem is exceptionally produced azure on a supporting dominated layer, a laminated layer with enriched by the insertion of precious stones and enamel decorations. Bunches of flowers, berries and leaves gathered in bunches are distributed on the support. Alternated with a laminated ribbon with a lively and naturalistic chromatic effect. The only object not belonging to the female assemblage is the silver horn, male of a male individual, buried together with his armor. The route dedicated to the Hellenistic necropolis ends in room 13. The left side offers the visitor a vast repository of funeral markers. From the stele inspired by Attic models, with the deceased in the Herrick nudity, the stele with floral elements and inscriptions to red figured pottery, to heads of funerary statues, the chronological presentation of the finds contributes wisely to evoke the impression of a walk through the streets of the Tarentine necropolis. The display cases on the right host other grave goods with regard to inhumation and incineration burials. In the first display case, there are gilt terracotta appliques used for adornment with floral elements or anthropomorphic subjects, sarcophagus and funerary beds. Note in the same display case, in a central position, an interesting leikothos, overpainted, decorated by a pneumatic figure covered up face inside a window. Other display cases have a thematic arrangement which allow the visitor, after a detailed choice of the significant finds, to widen his knowledge on some aspects of the culture in Taranto. Room 26 is dedicated to the world of childhood. Room 26 is dedicated to the world of childhood, with games and toys discovered in child burials. The rattle were destined for the youngest and are displayed on the left. When they were shaken, due to the presence of a small terracotta ball inside, made a noise to distract them and make them have fun. Note the guttus, which is a little jar with a neck, which was used in the shape of an animal and used as a feeding bottle. Of particular interest is the terracotta doll with movable limbs from the second half of the 4th century BC. Others include terracotta animals, which accompanied the children in their games and fantasies. Some of these games were mounted on wheels as if they were real, and they can be associated with the rites of passage from childhood to maturity. Other display cases are dedicated to the theater, in particular display case 27, which hosts musical instruments such as flutes, crotals, castanets, two craters in a glass-like shape and red figured with the scenes inspired by tragedies and satyr plays by the great Greek authors. It is important to note the representation of the episode of outrage at Cassandra, one of the most known linked to the fall of Troy. In display case 28, hosts a series of terracotta tragic and comic masks, figurines depicting actors, acrobats, and jugglers. There is the figurine of a nude acrobat, immortalized in the balancing himself on his arms, as he shows off his daring acrobatics. The farcical Flikatka improved and strongly caricatured the representation, finds its expression in the figured scenes on vases. Note the overpainted Onokoi, which shows a funny character painted with colors on the black surface of the vase, is identifiable as an actor of the farcical representation in a parodistic way, in the noticeable padding of the stage costume of a winner of a race with torches. The other display cases, number 29, have a thematic arrangement. Many votive offerings discovered in sanctuaries and funerary areas enlighten us on some aspects of religious culture. The votive plaques provide us with proof of the abundant production of terracotta objects. Some plaques had the images of the twin protectors of sailors, Castor and Pollux, on them. Their worship, drawn on the religious culture of Sparta, is widely documented in Taranto from these pinacs with the images of the deeds of the two divine brothers or their main iconographic attributes, like horses, the branches of a palm tree, or the characteristic little amphorae, as shown below. The objects in terracotta, which were mass-produced and molded, figured subjects with many things. Balls, birds, musical instruments, patera, and can be traced back to the worship of Haikithinkos, the handsome young man with whom Apollo was infatuated with, and his sister Polybia. Such statuettes probably refer to the specific rites of passage from one age group to another. The central display case is dedicated to the presentation of arms and can be traced back to the Roman conquest. It is possible to admire a complete suit of armor discovered in Canosa, conquered by the Romans at the end of the 4th century BC, and two bronze helmets discovered in Taranto at the end of the 3rd century BC. The helmets discovered in a burial place have a spherical cap with an end button, paragnitidi, furnishing to the back of the neck, utilized by the Roman army, and provides one of the oldest forms of proof of their presence in Taranto. Behind the helmets, there is a display case which contains a treasure of coins from the local mint, produced mostly during the 3rd century BC and hidden in the last decades of the same century. A particularly critical period due to the first defeat at the hands of the Romans in 272 BC, and then by the subsequent conquest under Quintus Fabio Maximus in 209 BC. In the last section of room 13, it leads us to the events which brought about the final defeat of Tarsus at the hands of the Romans and the consequent loss of Greek identity. The statues belonging to the 2nd and 1st centuries BC still clearly show the dependence on Greek models, as the Roman copy of the head of Heracles in a reduced form of the colossal bronze head shows. It was produced by Lipsippus at the end of the 4th century BC and placed at the Acropolis. The finds nearby confirm the extraordinary importance related to the figure of Heracles. Note in particular the base with the dedicatory inscription, a lion's skin sculptured with relief, similar to the iconography of the colossal Lipsus, remembered by ancient sources. The hero was represented as tired, meditative, with his chin resting on his right hand. The ruins displayed in display cases in room 14 on the left diverge greatly from the previous traditions. New ceramic products can in fact be testified, such as greyware pottery, thin-walled pottery with relief decorations. Note in particular, ceramic kitchen utensils frequently discovered in wells and cisterns. An interesting example is a large funeral funnel completely intact, which was utilized for transferring foodstuffs to different containers. The Roman conquest in 209 at the hands of Quintus Fabius Maximus marked one of the most dramatic moments in the life of the polis with regard to looting, destruction, and the slaughter of the population. The wealth and the works of art in Taranto were plundered and brought to Rome as a triumph. After 89 BC, the Greek community and the Roman colony came together to make up one single administrative structure, a municipium, which sanctioned the complete recognition of Taranto into the Roman Italy. In display case 33, there is a copy of the ninth table of the municipal law code outlining the principles regarding the duties, obligations, and powers of Roman magistrates. There is also the original bronze fragment of a law regarding the payment of debts. In both cases, the text provide guidelines for proper governance. Clearly inspired by the production of Greek statues, and in particular based on Praxiteles models, is the female head where it is possible to identify the goddess Artemis, placed in the center of the room. On the basis of the technical and stylistic characteristics, it must be recognized as a copy, even if it is of very high quality, belonging to the first century BC and probably produced in Taranto. On the left side, among the others, are four headless statues in marble, placed at the sides of the portrait of Emperor Augustus with a veil over his head. The head was produced with the aim of inserting it in the statue with a toga. Shows all the typical elements of the official art of painting a portrait and the capite velato representation emphasizes the civic role and the religious devotion to the emperor. The portrait and the figures wearing togas pertaining to the statues belonging to Julian-Claudian period were placed in a public area of the city, from which also comes a fragment of architraves with epigraphs. It is placed on the opposite side of the room, together with other architectural elements with inscriptions. In the same room, there are some mosaic floors, which belong to the late Republican private house, Domus. Next to the polychrome floors, a mosaic in black and white can be distinguished, which shows the mixed technique with pebbles and tessare. Room 15. In room 25, on the back wall, is a partial reconstruction of an honorary monument of Nepros, an exponent of a local family of Greek origin. The Neraki, the base and the top, which are richly decorated, still remain today. In room 15, in the display case on the left, there are some pieces of marble furnishings coming from the urban houses Domus. They include supports for tables which are very luxurious, such as the foot of a table in the shape of an animal's paw, with the head of a feline on top. There are also whole human figures, or a herm. Note in particular the herm in marble form, the 1st-2nd century AD, representing Dionysus when he was young, with a crown on his head, decorated with ivy leaves. Room 16 proposes the atmosphere of a Roman house by means of three splendid mosaic floors. some baths and basins in peristyle, which allowed a scenic use of water. The mosaics displayed, according to the original arrangement, come from three luxurious dwellings and can be dated back to the end of the 2nd century AD. They were discovered at the end of the 19th century in the Borgo during the construction of the Istituto Maria Immacolata. The mosaic on the left has got a tessellated geometric design with lozenges inserted in a meander pattern. The mosaic carpet in the center demonstrates the components in its pattern and is limited to a plate motif made up of various tiles with floral motifs, birds and fruit. And three squares are decorated with panthers, tigers and lions developed around a central emblem with the representation of a satyr or a nymph. The figurative repertory of this interesting floor draws on recurrent motifs found in floral, geometric, mosaic carpets, as well as still life from the Hellenistic tradition, and was mainly used in banquet rooms, where the most common subjects lead back to the Dionysic sphere. The mosaic on the right is, instead, characterized by an octagon pattern with geometric motifs or floral writings, and was inspired by a different figurative and technical tradition which uses bigger tesserae. Room 17. The display regarding the Roman city continues in room 17, where there are other mosaic floors from the emperor period attached to the walls, as well as the sculptural and epigraph contents of one of the biggest urban bathing complexes called the Pentasenses Baths. The prolonged use of this public building, founded in the Augustan age, which was still in use in the 4th century AD, is attested by an inscription recording the name and the restoration of the building. Note, among the statues pertaining to this building, the figure of the genius carrying pomegranates, grapes, and spikes in his regal mantle, which covers his left arm. The two sculptures representing an arote on a dolphin are very interesting and are probably to be interpreted as decorative elements on baths and fountains. The floor on the right is in black and white tessere from the 2nd century AD and comes from the area of the public baths and has the image of a racing chariot in the corners, which is just about to reach its objective. The mosaic carpet on the left is instead polychrome and is decorated with two griffins, with which are crouching and are confronted on the sides by a cantharos. The mosaic probably decorated a triclinium. In consideration of the space left without any decorations except in correspondence with the entrance. On the back wall there is a splendid polychrome mosaic which can be dated back to the beginning of the 2nd century AD, with a central rosette with flowers and a velarium curtain, stylized geometric decorations and vegetal motifs linked by spiral formed branches.